Kita kasur, teman kita, dah mah kasar, sesita kasur, tam tu naik dia dah dawat dah, doma meda, tindegi ani si kasar sih dia masih, nampak teruk dah kasar ngah sedi dia masih, hati sama patah itu mana teruk dah di kandesi dia sudah. 어디? 아? 저도 뭐, 저거 심주시에 말해. 근데 다 지어봐, 있나? 근데 여기 말했다. 여당 간지시랬어. 다 소모단 신사래.
When we talk about the self, or the I, or the person, you know, it is the I or the self or the person that wants to be happy and doesn't want problems, doesn't want suffering. It is obvious that that we exist. Yeah, there's an I, there's a self, and there's a person. Yeah. But when we investigate, you know, the nature of this I or the self or the person, what exactly is this I or the person? Then, you know, in the four Buddhist tenets and the four schools, they all have their own explanations as to what exactly this I or self is, yeah.
What in the Havardo, Anishi, that Yawamashi, the Mijina, that Daxi, Kandiji, Samada, Jishim Chakra, Karsina, Monsu Lesa, Legit, Anishi, Legit Sacha, and Kansari, Mutin, Yongo Gazan, that Juntin into a Madi Kandishi, Juntin into a Daxi Kandishi, till at that, some of you dance chanting. How about the Chiruba to Zuina, what Yawamashi to Gazan? 다와 섬도 담지. 나 딱지로 온지. 딱지로 온. 딱지 마셔라. 미팅이 시다. 근데 내가 두드려야 되나. 어떤 남배 지대 도세. 아니지. 다 요하랬어. 야, 엄마지 담지를 줘야 되나. 다 지어야 돼. 딱지로 온지. 다 지셔라. 듣기만 했어. 또 남배 지시야지.
And in particular, for those of us who assert past and future lives, you know, those of us who believe in reincarnation, then it is more, even more important to find out exactly, you know, what is this I or the person that moves from life to life, isn't it? For those of us who assert reincarnation, obviously, you know, we have to account for, we believe that there is the person that moves from life to life, isn't it? It is the person or the self or the I that accumulates karma. It is the I or the person that moves from life to life, and it is the I or the person that experiences the results of the karma accumulated, isn't it? Yeah. Leaving aside the Buddhists, yeah, even amongst those non-Buddhists who assert reincarnation, so there are non-Buddhist schools who assert reincarnation, they also have to account for the I or the person that moves from life to life. So many of them have thought about it, and they, due to their own, based on their own conclusions, they have come to believe that there is an I or self that is permanent, unitary, and independent. Because for them, this is the only way to express the I or the nature of the self here. Because if there's an I or self that moves from life to life, then that self or the soul or the person has to be permanent, has to be unitary, has to be independent. Yeah. So this is the thought of many non-Buddhist schools. However, Buddhism refutes such a permanent, unitary, and independent self. Yeah. Okay.
독신에 단단히 산 망치기 다다 그나 넘버 넘버 쪽에 다 닥터에 보나 다지는 것이 닥터에 티야다 풍보는 것이 다시다 뭐 풍보는 배들어 가시 풍보는 저와 때는 명이시다 다시 샤시 뭐 자는 저와 명이 풍보 풍보는 뭐 놓고시다 풍보는 신배다 당세지 샤과시
So many of the Buddhist schools who believe in reincarnation and those who assert a self, as I've said earlier, they assert that there's a person. The person is permanent, is unitary, and is independent. And on top of that, essentially what they're saying is that the self or the person is something that is completely distinct from the body and mind, something that has a completely separate entity from the body and mind. The self is something that's completely unrelated, not dependent on the body and mind whatsoever.
Yeah.
The non-Buddhist schools do not know how to relate the self to the body and mind. Yeah, basically that's the point. They are unable to talk of a self or an I or a person that is dependent on the body and mind. For them, they can't figure out how can the I or the person be related or be dependent or to be of the same entity with the body and mind. Here in Buddhism, if you look at the proponents of Buddhist tenets, starting from the proponents of the Great Exposition School all the way up to the proponents of the Consequence Middle Way School, yeah. All proponents of Buddhist tenets are same in asserting that a permanent, unitary, and independent self does not exist whatsoever. Yeah, that they all the proponents of Buddhist tenets unanimously assert or claim that there cannot be an I that is not dependent on the body and mind. There isn't an I or person that is of a different entity from the body and mind. So we will look, continue with the root text on page 4. Yeah. So we now look at the great exposition school's way of asserting selflessness. Yeah. Okay. So according to the great exposition school, subtle selflessness and subtle selflessness of persons are asserted to be equivalent or means mutually inclusive. Okay. A selflessness of phenomena is not accepted because it is accepted that if it is an established base, it is necessarily a self of phenomena. Among them, the followers of Vasiputra accept a selflessness of person, that is, a person being empty of being permanent, unitary and independent. However, they do not accept a selflessness of person, that is, a person being empty of being self-sufficient, substantially existent, because they accept a self-sufficient, substantially existent self that is inexpressible even in terms of being one entity with or a different entity from the aggregates and being permanent or impermanent. There are four Buddhist tenets, isn't it? All four are similar in asserting the non-existence of a permanent, unitary, and independent self. Dio. 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 Dio.
Okay? Number 3 ba yinba la yang chi ta chata ma na se ta nyama pu de ba se de ki ya khaso la pu ki da ta chi la ong chi da ta de ri ya ma le chi chi ta ran ja chi bi ze ki da se de ya chi le ni chi
okay yeah all proponents of Buddhist tenets assert the non-existence of a permanent, unitary, and independent self, right? And here we are looking at the great exposition's school manner or way of asserting selflessness, isn't it? So if you remember, there are many divisions of the great exposition school. Yeah. One of the subdivisions of the great exposition school is called the followers of Vasiputra or the Vasiputriyans. Yeah. They, being a proponent of Buddhist tenets, do not assert a permanent, unitary, and independent self. Having said that, this particular sub-school assert a self-substantial, self-sufficient, substantially existent person.
Pumbo the Mojik Shatukana, and a couple of shoes. Jawan and Jawa Togo Tukana, Pumbo the Mojik Shaman, couple of shoes. That more tadelessen, not generally do a couple of Pumbo the more tadeb, that your mother is in it, generally touch of the Sumi or the Chadan Pumbo the more tadeb, tadeb Shaman. 모직 샤나야 조파카 와차비래 자반 저 교두가나 모직을 샤나 조카 부치시다 모직 타데 강도야 아니 샤바도 저도면 그래 세시다 고난 비티데시다 샤코야시다
The followers of Vasiputra do not assert a permanent unitary independent self, isn't it? But they assert a self-sufficient substantially existent person, Tyobo. Right? Okay. So, these, the Vasiputrians do not know how to posit a person that is of the same entity with the body and mind. Yeah. For them, if the person is of the same entity with the body and mind, then perhaps they will meet with difficulties. You know, they do not know how to explain reincarnation. You know, if the eye is the same entity with the body and mind, you know, they perhaps do not know how to explain how the eye moves from life to life. You know, but yet at the same time, they cannot. Not assert that the eye is of the same entity with the body and mind, because the Buddha has said in a couple of sutras that the eye is of the same entity with the body and mind. Yeah. So then they only know what they say. Then they say that this self-sufficient, substantially existent person exists, but it is neither. As it says, it is neither one entity with the aggregates, or it is not of a different entity from the aggregates, basically. As it says here, right? But the Buddha has taught in a couple of sutras that there isn't an I that is of a different entity from the body and mind, isn't it? Yet at the same time, they find it difficult to assert, you know, a person that is of the same entity with the body and mind. So therefore, this particular sub-school accepts, you know, that there is a self-sufficient, substantially existent self that is inexpressible. You know, so inexpressible, that means in terms of being one entity with or different entity from the aggregates. Yeah. This particular sub school, the Vasiputrians, also find it difficult to say that the self is either permanent or impermanent. So therefore, they say that the self is inexpressible, even in terms of being permanent or impermanent. The Vasiputrians, or the followers of Vasiputra, which is a sub-division of the Great Exhibition School, yeah, are the only proponents of Buddhist tenets who assert a self-sufficient, substantially existent person. Everybody else, the other sub-schools of the Great Exhibition School, and the proponents of the other tenets, yeah, like the Sutra School, Mayoni School, Middle Way, all of them are the same in asserting that a self-sufficient, substantially existent person does not exist whatsoever. Yeah.
다 딱바지 샤나 마딩에 다 체내 샤나 마딩에 다 란자베 샤나 딱지 라와 다 라와 샤나 마딩에지 땅 상상을 시당 고마 되게 내가지다
기 We claim that the self cannot be permanent, it cannot be unitary, and it cannot be independent, right? But it is important to know why the self or the person cannot be permanent, cannot be unitary, and cannot be independent now. This is something we have to think about,
yeah.
You know, the concept of a permanent, unitary, and independent self, Atman, we say soul in other religions, isn't it? Yeah. Right? You know, there's talk about soul or Atman. But essentially, yeah, this is what we are talking about, you know, the permanent, unitary, independent self. This is asserted by many non-Buddhist philosophers. Many non-Buddhist religions, This is in contrast to what the Buddha has taught, yeah. And in Buddhism, we say that such a soul, such a self, does not exist whatsoever, isn't it? Right? You know, if you want, let's say for the sake of simplicity, you know, in Buddhist teachings, you always hear of selflessness. There isn't a self. There is no self. You hear this all the time, isn't it? But for the sake of simplicity, we can take this to mean that the Buddha has taught that a permanent, unitary, and independent self does not exist whatsoever. So such a self is. It does not exist. So itself, such a self, it doesn't exist. Yeah. So no self. Okay. So the non-existence of a permanent, unitary, and independent self. You can take it to be the cause selflessness. Okay? Bole, we're talking about selflessness, right? You know, in Hutso Tabai Kong, bo self, no I, no person, no whatever, what's that? No I, no person, what's the other one? Anyway, my brain's not really working. Anyway, there isn't a self, okay? The non-existence of a self. And for the sake of simplicity, let's take it to mean that a permanent, unitary, independent self does not exist whatsoever, okay? So this is one kind of, this is one selflessness of person, right? So this is considered to be a coarse selflessness of person. Coarse. Okay, boleh. But then we also talk about the non-existence of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person, isn't it? Right? So the non-existence of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person is subtle selflessness of person, according to the Great Exposition School, Sutra School, Mind Only School, and Autonomy Middle Way School. Okay, so the non-existence of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person is the subtle selflessness of person, as asserted by all Buddhist tenets except the Consequence Middle Way School. the consequence middle way school has a different presentation of what is the subtle selflessness of person. Yeah. Anyway, it's in the chart, right? I think it's somewhere, it's in one of those charts, yeah. So don't worry. So what's the problem if we say that the I or the self is permanent? What's the problem? Yeah. Why is it that a permanent self does not exist? Why isn't there a unitary person? Why can't there be a self that is unitary? And why can't there be an I or a person that is independent? What's wrong? You're here, right? As a proponent of Buddhist tenets, there's this assertion that the permanent unitary and independent self does not exist, isn't it? Right. But why is it? We have to be able to explain, account, you know, explain why. Yeah. If we assert a self that is a person that is permanent, yeah, that means that the person is, or the person or I or self, same, right? Is unchanging. Unchanging. But we have to be able to posit a person or self that experiences happiness and suffering, isn't it? So if you assert that the person is permanent, the self is permanent, then how do you explain that there is a self that experiences happiness and suffering? If the I is permanent, which means if the I is unchanging, then how does it experience happiness and suffering? If the I doesn't change, if the person doesn't change, then how does the I achieve liberation? How does the person achieve enlightenment? And in this context, the I, you know, is independent, right? It's said to be independent, right? If you assert that there's an I that is independent, then in this context, independent means independent of causes and conditions. So then you have to be able to then explain how can such an I exist, an I that is independent of causes and conditions. So basically, you have to be able to account for an I that is independent of causes and conditions. So for the Buddhists, it is extremely difficult to basically account for an I that is independent of causes and conditions. Okay, you follow that. We Buddhists, so-called Buddhists, basically assert that there's no soul, right? So no soul, no. Basically, what it means is there's no permanent self, no independent self, no unitary self, So the part about the self not being permanent is quite straightforward, The part about the self being not independent is also straightforward, What about the self being not unitary, which means the self possesses parts? So what's the problem if we say that the self is unitary, is partless? Unitary means partless, single.
I don't have answer myself. What's the problem?
What's wrong with saying that the self or the person is unitary, partless? What's wrong? Well, according to the Great Exposition School, partless moments of consciousness exist. Partless particles exist as well, right? So, what's wrong with saying that there's a partless self? You cannot have bipolar disorder. It's just okay. So according to the Great Exposition School, the I, self, and person are truly established in our ultimate truths. So according to the Great Exposition School, the self, I or person is not a phenomena such that an awareness apprehending it is cancelled if it is broken up or mentally separated into its individual parts. Which means, say that it is not a conventional truth, it is an ultimate truth according to this system. And it is substantially existent. So there is an I that has come from the previous life. In fact, sin comes from sin's beginningless lifetime up to now, and it is there is an I that moves from this life to the next life and so on, right? And according to this school, the Great Exposition School, such an I is truly established here. And if you think about it, according to this school, one would probably have to say that the I or the self of the person is an ultimate truth here. But is it necessarily partless? Well, if it is an ultimate truth, is it necessarily partless? So this is, we have to think about this. Yeah? If it is an ultimate truth, is it necessarily partless? Well, in this system, right? We are talking about the Great Exposition School. So, if you think about it here, if it is a partless phenomenon, it is necessarily an ultimate truth here. The pervasion works this way. If it is a partless phenomenon, such as, you know, directionally partless particles, temporally partless moments of consciousness and so forth, yeah. Those phenomena are necessarily ultimate truth, yeah. The pervasion works that way. Yeah. But if it is an ultimate truth, is it necessarily partless? So, this, even if you think about it, yeah, we have to have this discussion, right? It would seem that one has to say that the I, person, or self is an ultimate truth in this system, yeah. But yet, we cannot say that the self, the I, or the person is partless, yeah. So the main thing here is to explain why the I or the self of the person cannot be partless. Because being a proponent of Buddhist standards, you cannot claim that there's a soul, yeah? And in this case, a soul that is partless, that is unitary, yeah? So the point is, what's the problem, you know? What's the problem with saying that the self is partless? What's the problem? Chami. So there's one person or two person. Okay, so this remains to be something that needs to be thought about. So anyway, in short, yeah, and the story is this, lah. In Buddhism, a permanent, unitary, and independent self or soul, Atman, does not exist whatsoever. Okay, the non-existence of such a self is the coarse selflessness of person. So what you have to memorize or keep in, yeah, to be sure is what is the cause of selflessness of persons, yeah. So for now you just have to remember that a permanent, unitary, and independent self does not exist whatsoever. Such a self does not exist. So this is the coarse selflessness of person. You remember this first. On the basis of this, then you continue to analyze, you know, why is it that the self cannot be permanent? Why is it that the self cannot be unitary? Why is it that the self cannot be independent? Yeah. So, yeah, so on the basis of at least, you know, remembering, oh, that the core selflessness of person means the non-existence of a permanent, unitary, and independent self. On the basis of that you think about it, you know, why, you know, what's the problem if we say if the person is permanent? And what's the problem if the person is unitary? What's the problem if the person is independent? Yeah, okay. So through thinking, you know about it, you know, using many reasons, yeah. Then when you come to an ascertainment that, you know, you have a certainty in your heart that, yeah, the person definitely cannot be permanent because of this and that. The person cannot be unitary and the person cannot be what? Independent, yeah. You know that kind of understanding constitutes an understanding of the core selflessness of person.
Yeah.
For us, if we look at our own experience, you know, how we look at ourselves, you know, we have this idea, you know, this very strong belief inside that the I, that me yesterday and the me I now is the same person, isn't it? Exactly the same. Nothing has changed, isn't it? So there's this appearance, yeah, of a permanent I, unchanging person that's so real, and we believe in it, yeah. But the point is, such a permanent I or self does not exist, is it? Although we have this appearance of an I that hasn't changed, you know, over time, you know. You know, that I of yesterday, the I now, the me, you know, the identity, you know, of ourselves. You know, we have this feeling that it doesn't change in it, there's this appearance here. But the reality is that if you think about it, you know, the reality is that the I has changed. The I is not permanent.
So 직사를 내버려. 가서 인가딩이 변주를 내버려. 수단 미다바라바이 말해. 미다바 탐모 말해. 가서 인가딩이 다리 내버려. 미다바라바샤.
So the I of yesterday does not exist now. The I of yesterday has already ceased to exist. It's disintegrated, yeah, isn't it? So in that sense, the I has changed, yeah. But this is nothing really special. I mean, it is just coarse impermanence. It's not subtle impermanence. It's just coarse impermanence. But having said that, even if we have such an understanding, it's not just in words, but you know, if understanding, oh, the I of yesterday has really ceased to exist. The I of my I, and this me now, is not the person of yesterday. Although this is just an understanding of coarse impermanence, but even this understanding is very helpful because it can help to counteract many of our afflictions. So the I of yesterday doesn't exist now. No, having an understanding of that, it constitutes an understanding of cause and impermanence. That understanding alone is really quite helpful, actually, in counteracting any of our afflictions. But on top of that understanding, if we can come to and understand that the I, in fact, is undergoing change in each and every single moment, down to the smallest moment of unit of time, yeah. If we understand how the I does not exist for even one moment, and from changes from moment to moment, you know, that constitutes a real understanding of subtle impermanence. And that understanding can really be of big help, you know, to counteracting our afflictions and the three mental poisons of The reality of the situation is that the I does not exist for more than one smallest moment unit of time. It changes in each and every single moment. It is different. That's the reality. Yeah. But the reality does not appear to us. No. What appears to us is an unchanging I. It remains the same, So anyway, when we come to realize the non-existence of a permanent, unitary, and independent self, that realization is very helpful in counteracting the cause, our cause afflictions, and the cause anger, cause attachment, and cause ignorance. Yeah. Okay, so the non-existence of a permanent, unitary, and independent self is the cause selflessness of persons. Yeah. Then on top of that, you know, so after that comes the subtle selflessness of person, which is the non-existence of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person. Yeah. So now, here you are at the initial stages of training, of learning, training, practicing. You have no choice but to memorize the terms, for it is the basis for you to engage in discussion and thinking analysis. Yeah. So yeah, you have to be able to spit it out, you know, and you have to be able to say, for example, the non-existence of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person. You know, that is non-negotiable, really. So there are four Buddhist tenets here. The vast majority of them, starting from the Great Exposition School up to the Autonomy Middleway School, all of them conduct an investigation of the I on the basis that the I exists from its own side. You follow, yeah? So basically, with the exception of the Consequence Middleway School, everybody else conducts their investigation or analysis of the I on the basis of asserting that the I exists from his own side. On the basis of that assertion, then they investigate how there isn't a self-sufficient, substantially existent person. Yeah. Basically, their investigation, you know, looks into what are the problems, you know, if we say that there is a self-sufficient, substantially existent person. The investigation focuses on that. Yeah. If we look into our own experience here, you know, our idea of ourselves, you know, me as a person, I, we have this belief, you know, this idea that, you know, that I am the possessor of the aggregates. I mean, technically, we is aggregates, and I keep saying body and mind because it's easier to understand. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, aggregates means that as well. Generally, yeah. Okay. So we have this idea, isn't it? Yeah. And this belief, you know, that I own me. I own my body and mind. I am the utilizer, the user of my body and mind. Do you
understand? 나 스스로 풍부하다 봐. 가르치지 마라. 풍부하다 단계 제 낭신시 따다 단위 총바당 총의 제 낭신시 총바의 총의 제심으로 지낭시 총바스도 나체 나스는시 총제스도 풍부시 풍부나시 다시 즉 답보다 다 랑기 바틴제지 다시 차주지 못 놀아야겠다.
So, no, you know, it's like the our worldview of ourselves, you know, and how it's related to the body and mind, is similar to the relationship between a businessman or a trader and the goods that he trades in. You know, so we are, you know, we have the idea that we are like the businessman owning the goods to be traded. In this case, the goods to be traded are our body and mind, you know, isn't it? Yeah, like we are the owner, basically. The I, the person, the self is the owner of the body and mind. So this belief, you know, in the I being an owner of the body and mind is innate, you know. It's not taught. It just arises naturally. It's innate. It's in us. So this is our belief, you know. It's not taught. It is innate, you know. We have this idea, you know, very strong that I, me, the self, the person, is the owner of the body and mind. How do we know that we actually operate in such a way? For example, imagine, you know, at the times when we are not feeling well, especially if you're down with some sickness, you have pain, you know, you're not feeling well, right? Then you see somebody else who has a healthy body, you know, free of pain, you know. Then sometimes we have this idea, oh, how nice it would be if I had that body, isn't it? You know, we have this wish to exchange bodies, but the wish is not to exchange the self, yeah? But it's exchanging bodies, isn't it? Oh, yeah, I want that. Do
you want?
So, especially if you see somebody who is physically attractive, you know, and perhaps, you know, we are not as physically attractive, you know, we see, oh, if I was as handsome as the person, or if I had that beautiful body, how nice, you know. Even there's a wish, oh, maybe if you know, we have a choice, we could change, probably we would, yeah.
But not possible.
This is what we believe, isn't it? Yeah, that the I is the owner of the body. Yeah, the body is like something that can be traded, you know, can be exchanged. You know, just like basically, you know, a businessman can do whatever he wishes to the things that he owns, isn't it? Right? Yeah, he can, you know, sell it away, and the things that he doesn't like, and gives it, you know, exchange it for something better, right? So, that's how we think, isn't it?
So 와 남산 차트네 다 지금 남산 지금 대시야 보 잡동에 미 딘데기 시라 야보지 통에 누가 다 소소리 밖에 오지 있나요 오 말아 快那么些把这这个穷忙死，我记得我记，俺们忙不用这个多。
It's the same thing with how we look at our minds. You know, we feel that we possess, we own our minds. Yeah. You know, we have different kinds of minds, isn't it? Yeah. We can talk about our intelligence or our wisdom. Yeah. So for somebody who is not so intelligent, who is not perhaps not so wise, you know.You know, if we are such a person, then we see someone who is a smart ass, yeah. Wow, this fellow, wow, Jin Kim, so intelligent, wow, you know, he's so fast, he's so quick, he's good memory, blah, blah. Then, you know, we envy the person and we wish, oh, how wonderful, if I can be like that, yeah. You know, if I can have his wisdom. We don't think if I can have his self or his person, we think, how wonderful it would be if I can have his intelligence, his wisdom, his memory, you know. And then there's a wish, you know.I know, to exchange if possible, right? Such a wish is innate, yeah. It's innate, yeah. It's not taught, yeah.
That's the destiny. 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 That's the destiny.
So, in this case, the I doesn't seem to be dependent on the body and mind whatsoever. Rather, we have this idea that the body and mind are the ones that are dependent on the self. Isn't it? In this case, the I becomes like the owner. The I person or self becomes like the owner, yeah? The boss, basically.
어떻시네다던다이니다가서래다아왜던다이니다란제티브제스트다수두다풍보로온조바로다시다진데다시다먼저여샤샤시진데시다텔라다란제티브제스트다세디다진데기다시여래진베로디라다란제티브제스트다란제티브제도투치마세디
So we have such an idea of ourselves, isn't it? Yeah? We believe that the I exists in such a way, yeah? The I being the owner, the possessor of the body and mind. Yeah? Something that is the I which is not dependent on the body and mind whatsoever, but it is the possessor, the owner of the body and mind. Yeah? Such a belief, in technical language, is what we call an apprehension of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person.
Yeah.
So, a permanent unitary and independent self doesn't exist. A person that is the owner, possessor of the body and mind doesn't exist.So, you know, back to the apprehension of a permanent unitary and independent self. When we talk about a permanent self in this context,Essentially, what we are saying is that the self is also not related, not dependent on the body and mind. When we say that the self is permanent, yeah.
So
Okay? So when we talk about permanent unitary and self, and what independent self, the permanent here basically has the connotation that the I or the self is completely unrelated to the body and mind, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it completely, there's no relationship here. And when we talk about a self-sufficient, substantially existent person, it is something similar, but not exactly the same, like the previous example here. You know, when there's an apprehension of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person, there's an idea that there's an I, or person that is the possessor of the aggregates, yeah. And in this sense, the I, or the self, is not dependent on the body and mind, yes. But the body and mind, in this relationship, is in some kind of dependence, relying on the I. So there's some slight differences between the two apprehensions. Yeah. The apprehension of a permanent unitary and independent self, and the apprehension of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person. Yeah. Hello? Hello? Ujibo? If the teacher doesn't repeat, I cannot repeat. They will go get photo. So, I think this is very important, you know, to get an understanding of what we've been discussing. Because once you get this right, then there's nothing much else to say about the selflessness of person, you know, later on, with the exception of the consequence of middle way school. Because the presentation of the selflessness of persons in the Great Exposition School, Sutra School, and Mind Only School, and up to the Autonomy Middle Way School is the same. It's the same. Okay, so for now, what you have to remember is this. For all the tenets, with the exception of the consequences in Middle Way School, all of them are the same in saying that the non-existence of a permanent, unitary, and independent self is the core selflessness of persons. And the non-existence of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person is the subtle selflessness of persons.
Okay.
There are quite a few non-Buddhist philosophical systems, and many are also many other religions, yeah, major religious traditions, yeah, of the day of the world, who assert a soul, isn't it? We say a soul atman, but essentially what they are saying is that there is a permanent unitary and independent self, right? Isn't it? What are they saying when? Basically, they are saying that there is a soul, a self. There's something there that is completely unrelated to the body and mind, that is separate from the body and mind, different entity from the body and mind, isn't it? The thing that goes to heaven, you know, and that kind of stuff, you know? So they're saying that. All Buddhist tenets are equivocal, unanimous in saying that such a soul does not exist whatsoever. Yeah. And the non-existence Yeah, such a soul, such a self that is completely unrelated to the body and mind, that is of a different entity from the body and mind, does not exist. Okay, so the non-existence of this self is called is basically the cause selflessness of persons. Yeah. So when we see a selflessness of person, in this case, it's a core selflessness of person. Yeah. The word selflessness means the lack of a self, the non-existence of a self. And the self that doesn't exist here in this context is the self that is permanent, unitary, and independent. Such a self does not exist. So the non-existence of such a self is the core selflessness of person. Well, it's easy to say this, yeah? Be able to say this, blah, 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 blah. It's not easy to gain an ascertainment, to gain a conviction, because you have to prove to your own mind that the person is not permanent. You have to prove to your own mind that the person is not unitary. You also have to prove to your own mind that the person is not independent.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have to think, you know. Yeah. Basically you ask yourself, what's the problem? What's the problem if we say that the eye is permanent? So what? What is the problem if the eye is partless? What is the problem if the eye is independent? What's wrong? You see? So this is something that you have to work at, you know, through reading the text, thinking about it, and through discussion. You know. Yeah. As long as you're able to get an understanding in your heart, you know, or that such a self does not exist, you know, then I think that's enough, you know, sufficient. Yeah. So you'll be able to arrive at an understanding through such a process of reasoning, you know. Then you can say, oh, I have gained an understanding of the core selflessness of person.
Wow.
The non-existence of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person is more subtle than the non-existence of a permanent, unitary, and independent self. Yeah, it's more subtle. Yeah. Okay. So the object of negation, or in Rinpoche always says, the object to be refuted. Yeah. Or the object to be negated. It's more subtle. Maybe it's more difficult to understand, basically, yeah.
Okay.
So when we, you know, in technical language, we say the apprehension of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person. But the point here is we have to look in our own experience and see, you know, how does such a mind operate, you know? You know, how does such a mind, what does this mind think when it apprehends the person, you know, that is like the owner, possessor of the body and mind? How does it work, you know? So we look in our own experience, you know. We may be able to see, you know, that you know we innately believe that we are the owners of the body and mind. And in this case, you know, it's not that the I is completely unrelated to the body and mind, but yet, you know, the I is like the possessor, you know, the owner of the body and mind.
Yeah. Hmm.
So the manner of apprehension is like this in this technical language. I mean, sometimes you have to get used to it. The manner of apprehension. The I seems to be completely independent of the body and mind, not dependent on the body and on the body and mind. And if you look at the body and mind seems to be dependent, relying on the I. So this particular way of apprehending the I, you know, can be exemplified, or can be understood, you know, through the examples I given you earlier, you know, about how, you know, we innately, naturally have a wish to exchange our bodies and or our minds with somebody else's, yeah, isn't it? It's innate, yeah, it's natural,
yeah.
Yeah, so we believe, you know, that there's an I that is the possessor, the owner of the body and mind, an I that is independent, independent of the body and mind. Yeah. Yeah, self-sufficient, we say, basically. That's the meaning of self-sufficient. Wrong. Okay. Does the I exist in the way we believe it to exist? No? In this case, we believe, no, there's an innate feeling and belief that there's an I that is the possessor, owner of the body and mind, an I that is not dependent, not relying on the body and mind. Okay, there's this appearance of an I, and we believe in it, yeah. But the question is, does such an I exist in reality? No? Does it exist in the way, does the I actually exist in the way it appears to our minds? Is there a self-sufficient person or I that is the owner, the possessor of the body and mind? An owner that is, that doesn't rely, doesn't, is not dependent on the body and mind? The answer is no. Okay, it's one thing to say no, but it's another thing to prove, to be able to establish in your own heart, your own mind, yeah, that such a self-sufficient, substantially existent person does not exist. Yeah, that's another completely different matter. Yeah.
Okay, that's it. Huh? Ah.
Feeling, person, can you give an example on an ultimate truth that is partless? That's parts, right? Yeah, the persons, feelings, the aggregates. So I think you can posit any of the five aggregates, yeah? What about the person? Person.
This one.
He got the mic, you got the mic stand.
The mic is over here. Does one need to abandon the intellectually acquired apprehension of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person before one can proceed to abandon innate apprehension of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person?
What?
In other words, simply is, do you need to abandon the intellectually acquired one first before you abandon innate? However, isn't the manner of meditation of abandoning the object of abandonment the same? In other words, checking the, mentally separating the individual, aggregates from this concept, this idea, and when you cannot find it, you develop this understanding it doesn't exist. Therefore, my point is, if you're able to abandon innate, acquired, self-sufficient, substantially existent person, why is there a need to abandon the intellectually acquired one? Basically, that's the essence.
So the question is, basically, what you're trying to figure out is this. There is the, we talk about afflictions, there are what we call intellectually acquired afflictions and innate afflictions. Yeah. And in the case of the apprehension of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person, there are said to be two forms. There's an intellectually acquired form and there's an innate form. Yeah. And the antidote or the meditation that is supposedly, that we are supposed to do to abandon these two conceptions, said to be the same. Yeah. If that's the case, then why is it that we need to abandon the intellectually acquired one before abandoning the innate one? You follow not? And the answer is this: the mode of apprehension of these two is different. The mode of apprehension of the intellectually acquired apprehension of a self-sufficient, substantial existent person, and the mode of apprehension of the innate apprehension of a self-sufficient, substantial existent person, they are different. Yeah. To keep it simple, the intellectually acquired apprehension of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person's mode of apprehension is basically similar to the apprehension of a permanent, unitary, and independent self. To keep it simple.
단단히 딱 풍보래 모타데베 란자와지 딱 단단히 뒷군다 이 말에 풍보래 모타데베 란제베 딱 제시 이 말에 딱 단단히 딱 군다 이 말에
So in short, what is the intellectually acquired apprehension of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person? It is an apprehension of a self-sufficient person that is of a separate, different entity from the aggregates. So, in short, what is the manner of apprehension of the intellectually acquired apprehension of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person? It's basically this mind apprehends a self that is separate. Entity different from the aggregates. So there's the yeah. In simply speaking, it is similar to an apprehension of a permanent, unitary, and independent self. Okay, so the apprehension, the intellectually acquired apprehension of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person actually clings on to an I or self that is of a separate, different entity from the body and mind. But in the case of the innate apprehension of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person, in this particular mind does not apprehend a self or a person that is of a separate, different entity from the body and mind, but rather it apprehends a self or an I that is the owner or the controller of the body and mind. So the mode of apprehension is different. Hello? Ni hao. So, okay, we're comparing two different minds. You just have to get used to the language. The intellectually acquired apprehension of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person and the innate apprehension of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person. These two minds. In the case of the first one, the intellectually acquired apprehension of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person, that mode of apprehension involves apprehending the I or the self or the person that is of a separate entity from the body and mind. In the case of the innate apprehension, there isn't an apprehension of a self, person, or I that is of a separate entity, different entity from the body and mind.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but these things are extremely challenging. It's extremely difficult things. It's something that we have to work at it for over years, thinking, you know. And there are materials available in English, so one can look at them. But it's still difficult to really to say decisively that it is this and it is not that. It doesn't matter who we're talking about. It's very difficult for anybody to really say, you know, it is like that, it's not like this exactly, 100%. Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, Ken and Ruje. Could I get back to lesson 4? When you mention person and the aggregates, meaning the feeling, discrimination, confusion factors, and consciousnesses, are ultimate truth in the Greek exposition schools. Can I understand that as like these persons and aggregates that you mentioned about ultimate truth be expressive sound, like I'm relating to the last module that we learned. And therefore, if it's expressive sounds, which would be also under non-associated compositional factors, they are ultimate truth in the Greek exposition school. However, they are classified under impermanent things in the division of permanent and impermanent in the Greek exposition schools as well. So could I deduce that similarly, partners particles which cannot be destroyed is an ultimate truth, but at the same time it is an impermanent thing because it's under form.
Repeating asking question?
Okay.
This question? No.
Yeah, it's when we talk about when in lesson 4 you mentioned about person, or this lesson as well, the persons and the aggregates being ultimate truth. Yeah. That would classify under this kind of ultimate truth. This is like a generality, like Benny was mentioning the previous lesson, and that is under non-associated compositional factors.
What do you say that one?
I'm trying to figure out what's the driving at.
I'm trying to.
Is the partless particle an ultimate truth and form at the same time?
I think Yes. Yes.
That's your question, right?
Yes. Yes. That meaning, like, partner's particle is an ultimate truth under the Greek exposition schools, by the definition, because it cannot be, separated into parts. However, because it is an non-associated compositional factor, and which is impermanent things. Under the division of impermanent,
it is not a non-associated compositional factor. It is form.
Oh, right. I mean, the person and the aggregate are non-associated compositional factors, but whereas the partner's particle would be form.
So aggregates are not necessarily aggregates. For example, the aggregate of form would be form, yeah.
If it's a certain defined as a certain period, like my body, like a form. But I was referring to lesson 4 when Ken Rinpoche was mentioning about the persons and the aggregates. But I can simplify that as like person as ultimate. So I think, but the bottom line would be that the partner's particle, which cannot be destroyed, is the ultimate truth,
and?
But at the same time, it is form, and which is an
impermanent thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, thank you.
A person is substantially existent, but yet in this school it says that it is devoid of self-sufficient substantially existent. So it sounded a bit contradictory, but I'm just wondering, is it trying to say that the person is substantially existent but not self-sufficient?
I didn't hear your first part.
Person is substantially existent.
Person is substantially existent, yeah. In this
but,
school.
Yeah, but yet it says that it is devoid of self-sufficient substantially existent. So yeah. Is it trying to say that the person, it sounded a bit contradictory at first, but is it trying to say that the person is substantially existent but not self-sufficient?
If you remember, according to the Great Exposition School, if it exists, it is, or if it is an established base, it is necessarily substantially established.
Yes.
Which makes the person necessarily substantially established. The one clear. No negotiation.
Okay.
The person is substantially established, yeah? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Substantially established, isn't it? But the self-sufficient, substantially existent person does not exist, right? So obviously there has to be a difference, yeah? In the explanation, I mean, when we use the word in the context of saying that a self-sufficient, substantially existent person does not exist, that is to help us understand how we innately view ourselves, you know, as being the controller and the possessor of the body and mind. It's not unrelated to body and mind, but it is more like a controller and owner of the body and mind, yeah. So let's say if we look at the partner's particle,
Are partless particles self-sufficient, substantially existent? It is substantially established, isn't it? Right. Is it self-sufficient?
Yeah.
Yeah, standing on its own, no?
Yes.
Right. Then, so there is self-sufficient, substantially. There is self-sufficient, substantial establishment, isn't it? So there is self-sufficient, substantially existence, isn't it?
Yes.
But we say that the self is not self-sufficient, substantially existent, is it? We have to prove or establish that the partless particle is self-sufficient. If the partless particle is self-sufficient, then it would mean